Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to this morning's Harvard Risk Management Monday morning team call. My name is Jim Tanner, dialing in from my home in Boston, Massachusetts, where I am grateful and glad to be back home, while also equally having been grateful to spend time with our Harvard Risk Management agents around the country. As I toured around, many of you are aware of that. Our executives have been on the road participating in Legal Shield's Build the Dream Tour, which is and has been six-figure and multiple six-figure ring earners traveling around different parts of the country and speaking to associates at the weekly briefing and Super Saturday events. And it's been just an absolutely joyous time. As I mentioned, I penned a letter to the CEO of Legal Shield, Mr. Jeff Bell, on my return trip on the airplane home, and I included Mr. John Long, the president of Legal Shield's network division, sharing my gratitude for having seen that. As I mentioned to them during that experience, what I learned and what I was reminded of is how excited I was when I first discovered this opportunity we're all a part of. And it was a great reminder for me because every day of that tour, I got to see our opportunity again through the eyes of somebody discovering it for the very first time. And I was so grateful for that. And I'm reminded also by that experience that every Monday morning when we come together, because of the incredible growth of our organization from coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, that I'm speaking with and participating with people that are discovering our opportunity for the very first time. As we've had a record growth month of recruiting and new agents joining our business and completing new agent training, I want to be a voice to welcome you to this morning's call, many of you for the very, very first time, and also a special welcome to all of the veterans of our organization, folks that have been with us for years and in some cases decades, helping to make Harvard Risk Management what it is today, an incredible force of nature, a large international organization of professionals, an elite group of men and women marketing these great services, protecting families, empowering those families, empowering small business owners, empowering the employees of those companies as well. Congratulations to each and every one of you for all that you do. And I want to take a moment and recognize this morning our top producers for the month of May 2018. And what a month of May it was. And as we talked early on throughout the month, we could see the trajectory of how May might finish. And it certainly was impressive. I just want to take a moment and recognize our top 20 producers here in Harvard Risk Management, the top 20 men and women that are out there protecting and empowering the families across North America. Now, we can always do more. And to do more, I want to encourage everybody listening this morning to join this list of our top producers. First, as we continue, the top 20 producers for May 2018, Akis Arekwa in California, Kelly McNamara in Louisiana, Shannon Thompson in Kentucky, Jim Crump in the state of Georgia, from Kansas, Rich Miller in Louisiana, Denise Bullard in Texas, Stephanie Panchishin. From the state of Idaho, Pam Holt. And then we have Jessica Hooten from Tennessee and Dr. Judy Smith in the state of Kansas. In our top 10 top producers for May of 2018, we have Mr. Scott Brooks from South Carolina, joined by Gail Ross from the state of Indiana. Then going back to South Carolina to Mr. Jason Millman. Congratulations to you all. Then we have the legendary Brian Fahili in the state of Louisiana. Also, Mr. Dave Paperno in California. Josh Samick, also in the state of California, in our top five producers for the month of May. The number four position, Ms. Judy Johnston in New Mexico. In number three for the entire month of May, top producers, Rebecca Baker from the state of California. The number two top producer in Harvard Risk Management for May of 2018, from Louisiana, Melanie Nabb. and our number one top producer for the month of May 2018 was from the state of Kentucky, Mr. Adam Thompson. So congratulations to all of our top producers, the folks that are leading the way, giving all the rest of us something to chase, something to shoot for, a bar that's been raised, which is helpful and actually incredibly important to our growth as an organization. And as a special treat for all of you this morning, I have our number one top producer standing by. So we're going to be going to the state of Kentucky. Now, many of you were in Arkansas and traveled into Arkansas this past weekend, and you got to hear from this gentleman live in attendance at Legal Shield Super Saturday event. Many more of you saw on Facebook the impact that this gentleman had on the associates that were in attendance, as people not only traveled in to see that, but were so moved and inspired that they had to share their thoughts and reflections coming out of that event as well. So without further ado, let's go to the state of Kentucky to the number one producer for the month of May, $150,000 ringer, and we're closing in on the $200,000 ring, and a platinum executive director, Mr. Adam Thompson. Adam?
Thank you, thank you, thank you. My goodness, so much. What a wonderful introduction. My beautiful bride is standing here right beside me. We worked the most we've ever worked in our four-year career history with Harvard Risk Management and Legal Shield, and it paid off. We absolutely raised the bar, as Jim said. In the beginning of our business, we shot for the 50 sales a month, and what if we hit it? Well, we did. We shot for the 100 sales a month, and what if we hit it? Well, we did. You've got to raise that bar. You've got to make that goal more to push yourself to become the person you can do. I'm here to tell you that it's not easy, but it is possible. And my goodness, it is worth it. We had our biggest earnings month in 4 years with Legal Shield. You got to put in the work. At 40 years old, Henry Ford had gone through five bankruptcies, the same as Walt Disney and Hershey of the chocolate foundations, and Abraham Lincoln, all gone through bankruptcies and all this, brain freeze. They had gone through all these distractions and all these setbacks. And I say that to say that they went through all the failures, but finally found what they were looking for, like the Chinese bamboo, that you water it over and over and over, month after month after month. You plant it, water it, fertilize it, and it never even grows for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. But at that fifth year, the Chinese bamboo tree absolutely shoots up 90 feet in just 6 weeks. Alicia and I put so much work. And it wasn't easy, but it was simple. We just got up every day and did it again and did it again and did it again. We went to over 20 enrollments last month. We drove 5,743 miles last month. Every single time we turned on the car, that meant money and helping families and doing the business and success. But if we would have stayed home and would have taken a day off and would have thought about it and done analysis paralysis and not really got into the field and done the work, nothing would have happened. I'm here to tell you that it's not easy. It's possible, though. We had a day where we signed up 32 families in a single day, in a single room. But at the same time, we had a day where even in our busiest, biggest month ever, we had a zero, everybody. I want you to sink that in. Really, really sink that in, especially new people. I've done this for 4 years now. I had the most success I've ever had in a 30-day period, and yet there was a room full of people just in this last month that I didn't sign up a single one. And yet Legal Shield paid us more than they've ever paid us. Every single time we got in that car, every single time we went to enroll, every single phone call Alicia made, an interview she went on time and time again, we were able to average $1,433 every single working day last month. That changed everything as far as my mindset. It showed me that it is possible. It showed me that you've got to do the work. It showed me that you've got to keep on keeping on. I know these are cliches, but my goodness, this is not an easy business, but it is so simple if you'll just do the work. Mr. Tanner, I've never been more excited. We're so grateful to be headed and packing for Jamaica in a few days. But why not do all the work we can to make this next month our biggest month ever? Let's keep saying that. Let's keep like a broken record, let's keep saying this month is our biggest month ever. Nothing brings me more pride than to work alongside my Harvard Risk Management family and to give thanks to God and Jesus and Mr. Mark and Mike Riches, Jim Tanner, all the leaders in this company. I'm so thankful to be working alongside you and running as fast as we can run. Thank you so much.
Adam, thank you so much, and we will be seeing you in Jamaica, and I want you to know that Olive is counting down the days so she can see Adam and Alicia like it's Christmas morning, so she's ready for you guys. We'll see you there. Thanks for joining us on the call this morning, and let me just add some reflection to what Mr. Adam Thompson said. I hear the reminder of this continued theme of gratitude for our business. And I have seen Adam Thompson and Alicia Thompson build their business. I've had the great opportunity to watch that happen over the last several years. And I'll tell you this: there's people on this call right now who have an opportunity to have the impactful business, impactful for their own family and their own finances, impactful for the people around them that they'll protect, impactful for the legacy that they'll build. There are people on this call right now that can have equal impactful businesses. There are people that will surpass anything we've yet dreamed could be done on this call right now. And there are people on this call that endeavor to build an international team, which we talk about, by the way, same telephone number you're on right now on Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Central Time. You can join our leadership as we discuss best practices on how to build an international team, because right now, across the U.S. and Canada, people like Adam and Alicia Thompson, like Jim Tanner and so many others, are looking for exactly what we have to offer. They're looking for us, and we're looking for them, and you could be the one to pay this opportunity forward and get it into the hands of somebody that won't just be grateful for it, although they will be tremendously grateful. But they'll take that gratitude and they'll turn it into massive forward momentum, which will benefit the communities, it'll benefit the individuals, the agents, and it'll benefit you as a team builder. I have an announcement for everybody listening this morning. You're saying, well, I want to be a top producer. We've been talking about the top 20 producers. You just heard from the number one producer for the month of May. You want to join those ranks. Here's what we know at Harvard Risk Management. As an elite organization, the advantages we have, we can boil it down to our ability to coach, lead, mentor, train people towards an elite level in the business. And you have an incredible opportunity coming up very rapidly, and I want to make sure that everybody on this call knows that you have this opportunity to participate in our next B2B webinar for your B2B certification. So if you want to get into this part of our business, if you have not yet, if you want to work with business owners and their employees and those employees and their families to get this protection out into your local marketplace, we have the training and support and tools for you to do that. We have a B2B webinar scheduled for June 6th. It's 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. And we want to make sure that you are registered for that webinar. All you have to do is go under the certifications column in your back office, and you'll see the link to B2B certification. And that will take you to your chance to schedule your B2B webinar and to participate in this with us. If you're already B2B certified, and many of you listening have already completed your certification and you've been through this webinar before, and you want to take it again, you want to be, again, part of this live training opportunity, you, of course, don't need to register because you're already certified. All you have to do is visit hrmcb2b.com to participate in the webinar. And everyone listening is invited to participate in the webinar, even if you're already certified. But again, if you are not yet certified, you can register for the webinar so that you get credit as part of your certification for the webinar by going under the certifications column in your back office. But if you've already satisfied the certification requirements, you just want the knowledge, the impact, you want to have this help you with your momentum going forward in the month of June, all you need to do is visit the website directly, hrmcb2b.com. And you might be wondering, well, who's going to be the trainer? on this webinar opportunity. I'm going to introduce you to that trainer today because this gentleman also happens to be our guest speaker and trainer here this morning, and it is my honor and privilege to be able to open the door for him to share time with you this morning. Let me say this about this morning's speaker. You're going to be hearing from someone that has mentored the people that are now the mentors in this organization, someone who has not only stood the test of time, who over the course of time has proven to be a commodity, a major motivator in our business, but is now someone who is part of the testimony of multiple top producers, six-figure and multiple six-figure income earners. Point back to this trainer, this gentleman, and say, if not for him, I wouldn't be here today. He is not only a sought-after speaker within Harvard Risk Management, where he also holds the position of president of this company, but he is one of the most requested trainers at live events across North America for Legal Shield. He holds the position of Millionaire Club member with Legal Shield, a $200,000 ringer, one of the top producers in the entire history of Legal Shield's business model, and an incredible friend to everyone who's had the time to spend any time with him at all. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the call now, from Dallas, Texas, the president of Harvard Risk Management Corporation, Mr. Mike Ridges.
Wow, thank you so much, Mr. Tanner. What a beautiful introduction, and I appreciate that. Appreciate all that you said, and as you well know, those feelings of friendship and admiration are absolutely mutual, and I am, Mr. Thompson mentioned the word grateful. I am so grateful for the incredible leaders that we have in this business and in this company, and certainly we've already heard from two of those exceptional leaders this morning, Mr. Jim Tanner and Mr. Adam Thompson, and there are so many. That's one thing I'm again just really grateful for, is the influence of other people in my life, and I'll tell you what, it's pretty cool to be a part of something like this where we've got such great people, such humble people, and I always love listening to Mr. Adam Thompson. I don't know about y'all, but I just really enjoy his personality. I don't know how to sum it up, but who he is. Like, he's just authentic and he's real, and what you see is what you get. I'll tell you what the Bible says about that is that he's without guile, and that's probably the best description that I can give of a person like Adam Thompson. I really enjoyed hearing from him this morning, and I always love listening to Mr. Jim Tanner, who I have such respect for, whose letter I read and was just really moved and touched, the letter that he had sent to Mr. Jeff Bell and Mr. John Long, and you talk about a letter of where you just can feel his authenticity and his belief in what we do, and it motivated me to take my activity to the next level. And I do want to share some thoughts with you this morning. I appreciate everybody being on the call, and I'm joining from Dallas, Texas, where it's actually stormy and rainy this morning, and I think for most of us here, that's a welcome relief from the 100-plus degree days that we've had here recently. And so I'll tell you what, it's a little bit cloudy, but it's not cloudy today in Harvard Risk Management by any stretch. We are gearing up for a huge enrollment month. The month of June is really the final month that we can take 2017 rates into companies. I know a lot of you are planning on doing that this month. I know I'm planning on doing that in several enrollments coming up this month. It's a month where we're going to be getting in front of a lot of decision makers, and I'm excited about the prospect of doing that. There are so many decision makers right now that are looking for this type of solution. And this is a time of year. It's not the only time of the year, but it is a time of the year, where we see a lot of decision makers that their eyeballs kind of start looking around. The reason for that is because a lot of companies are going to be getting into open enrollment, and they're making benefit decisions for 1/1/19. Not every company's benefits start or their benefit packages have an effective date of January 1st, but a lot do. And so right now they're starting to glance. They're starting to look over the months of July and August. Those conversations will probably become even more intense as they gear up for, you know, an open enrollment period in September or October or November. And so right now is a good time to be getting the message out there for those types of businesses, for those types of companies. And I know a lot of people are really focused on doing that. I'm excited. I'm going to be up in Chicago with Mr. Chris Evans, our National Marketing Director, in two weeks from today, we're going to be up in Chicago at the National SHRM Conference. SHRM is a society of HR people, so HR directors, VPs of HR, and their national conference is the biggest conference that they have. It's the biggest HR conference in the world, and they have typically between 15 and 20,000 leaders, HR, again, HR people, owners of businesses, presidents, executives, so on and so forth, that come together from all around North America and really all around the world. There's always an international contingent there as well. And they're coming together in 2 weeks from now, and they're going to be going to classes and, you know, the things that people do at a convention. But they've got a concert, they've got all kinds of stuff going on. But we're going to be exhibiting there, and one of the things that these HR people do is they go through this exhibit hall, and they're looking. There are hundreds of exhibitors there. It's enormous. I mean, unless you've been there, it's really hard to capsulize what you experience in being in an event like that. But there's really no other event like that, not on that scale. And we're going to have hundreds of people that come by our little Harvard Risk Management booth, and that we're going to get information from them, and they may get some information from us. They certainly will get information from us as we follow up with them. Hundreds of people, almost all of whom we're going to ask, and I know this because we've done this for almost a decade now, every year, that we'll ask a simple question like, have you ever looked at offering an identity theft plan as a voluntary benefit? And they will typically, almost all of them, give an answer like, no, we haven't, but it sounds like a good idea. I mean, that will be 90% of the time how they answer that question. Here's what you don't hear. No, I don't think we'd be interested in that. Here's what you don't hear. No, I don't think we would need an identity theft plan. Here's what you will hear. You'll hear sometimes, yes, we've looked at that. That's we're hearing some of that. But again, maybe 10% of the time. 90% of the time, no, we haven't, but that sounds like a great idea. I mean, that's how open people are. And I know it might not feel that way sometimes when you and I are on the phone calling, but because maybe we're not catching people at the right time or whatever. I mean, you know, I've kind of always taught the numbers. If you're making cold calls, if you're calling people that are not in your warm market, not in your circle of influence, not, you know, places where you're spending money or people that you know or referred by somebody you know, if you're just making cold calls, you're probably going to have to make 50 calls in order to get a decision maker on the phone that says, yes, come in and see me. And so sometimes we look at those numbers and you say, oh, man, 50 calls. Well, 45 of them are voicemails. So let's not over-exaggerate it, right? But 50 calls, hopefully getting about 5 people on the phone, actual decision makers on the phone, and then about 20% of those you end up getting an appointment with. Those are healthy numbers to look at. And I know that for some, they might look at numbers like that and think, oh, man, well, people aren't really interested in what we do. That's not the case. It's really not the case. And timing may not be right. You may not have caught them on a good day. Maybe they're just super busy right now, which a lot of people are, which is the reason why, you know, maybe when you get somebody on the phone, it's only about 20% of the time that you end up with an appointment. Now, if you're calling warm market, it's going to be a lot higher than that. But it's not because of lack of interest, and it's not because of lack of need, because the need has never been greater, and really, interest has never been higher in what we do. That's just the thing with cold calling. You've got to go through the numbers to find people that you're hitting them at the right time. But I'm telling you, that's exactly what we're going to see at that SHRM conference. That's exactly what we see at HR conferences all the time. And it's certainly what we see when we get in front of employee groups. You heard Adam Thompson and Alicia getting in their car, driving around this past month of May, driving to all of these enrollments. And what is the response that they're seeing? Well, it's high enough that they were the number one producer last month. And that response is what you're seeing from all of these top producers. The need has never been greater for what we do. And I hope you understand that. I hope you appreciate that. I'm excited to just play a small role in bringing the solution to the masses. And I hope you're excited about playing your role in that as well. Speaking of the next week, I just want to share with you, because I'm not in a braggy way at all, but just out of gratitude, what this business is allowing me to do in the next week. I'm able to take my son to Jamaica. My wife wanted to go, but she's got a girls camp commitment with our church, so she's staying back because she's taking our oldest daughter to this week long camp, and she's leading part of that, and so that just happened to be at the same time as this Jamaica trip. So we said, okay, that's okay. I'm a big believer in having one-on-one time with your kids anyway. And if you can get them out of the country where their cell phone doesn't work, that one-on-one time can become more, a better connection anyway. So, but anyway, I'm taking my son to Jamaica. We're going to get to spend a few days there. Because of another schedule, we're actually going in a day early, so we're going into Jamaica this Friday, and what we're going to do is look at the most popular restaurants, and that we're going to go to those restaurants before all the other Legal Shield people get there on Saturday, and so that we don't have to wait in line. But we're gonna chill out in Jamaica for a few days. I'm so excited to see many of you there, to get to spend time with many of you there, unless you're staying at the adult only part of the resort, because then I probably won't see it, because I'm going to be hanging out with my son at the Bring Your Kids part of the resort. So anyway, we're excited for that Jamaica trip. You know, how cool is it that we get to go on a vacation fully paid for by Legal Shield? I mean, the flights are paid for, the resort, the hotel is paid for, the food is paid for. I mean, you know, how cool is that? And then just in case you pick up any incidental expenses, the moment you get there, they give you a $150 gift card. And that's to pay for your expenses. And I'll probably throw it in my briefcase next to the $150 gift card from the last trip that we went on that I still haven't activated yet. But I'm just excited for that. That's going to be a lot of fun. Then I get to take my son. You know, he's 14, almost 15 years old now. So I'm thinking, okay, we've only got him for a few more years before he leaves the nest, and I want to spend time with him. We're gonna go up to we're gonna fly directly from Jamaica to New Mexico. Flying into Santa Fe, New Mexico, where he's got his scout troop that's going on a mountain hike and whitewater rafting trip. And so we're going to go up there together, and I'm excited for that. I've never really been a big hiker. I have invested a small fortune in lightweight material, so lightweight sleeping bag, tent, all that kind of stuff, so that we can make it up that mountain. But I'm really looking forward to it. I think it'll be a great, great trip. I'm excited for the whitewater rafting part of that, it's going to be a lot of fun. But I guess I share that with you again. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just trying to say how grateful I am that we're able to do this. We're going to be gone for a week, and then I fly straight from there to Chicago to go to the SHRM conference. We'll be gone for about a week, where I won't really have much cell phone coverage. I really won't focus on business at all, during that time. Now, that, you know, a week-long vacation is not something that, that other people in other careers don't have. I mean, obviously, people go on vacations. But I, you know what I love about this business is that I didn't have to ask anyone for time off. I never once, you know, called the boss and said, hey, I need this week off to be able to go to my... In fact, Legal Shield, the company that we sell for, they're the ones that are paying half of that to go to the first part of Jamaica. I mean, I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful for a business that has given us the financial freedom to be able to do that as well. And so, you know, when I speak this morning, it's more out of gratitude than anything else. I want to talk to those of you that heard that top producer list. And no matter where you're at right now, I want to talk to those of you who said, you know, I need to be on that. I want to be on that top producer list. Because there are many of you, hundreds, thousands of our agents that were not on that list this morning that Mr. Tanner read. And I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning. My training is for you. It's also for those of you who were on the list, but not at the top. For those of you who may have gotten your name read this morning, which I'm sure felt good and it should feel good, but maybe came with a little twinge of you know, I need to do better. And yes, they read my name, but last month was not the month that I wanted to have, and it could be better, it could be greater. And that doesn't mean that I'm not talking to Adam, because he's the only one, then Adam and Alicia, that were at the top of the list, but you know, they're welcome to listen in too. And I say that in jest, because of anyone that I know, Adam Thompson and Alicia Thompson are two that always listen and always are taking notes and always are such good students in the business. That's one of the things I respect so much about them. But I want to talk to basically everyone else, that maybe you're brand new and you say, you know what, how do I get on that top producer list? Maybe you're not brand new. Maybe you've been here for a while. And you say, you know, I deserve to be on that list. I've worked hard, but I'm not, and I want to be. And I want to talk to you this morning about the power of self-examination, the power of looking at ourselves and examining ourselves and examining specifically our business and asking ourselves some very important questions about where we're at and how we are growing and how we are improving and how ultimately we are succeeding. You've heard the phrase litmus test before. You know, we need to give ourselves a litmus test. I don't know if you know what a litmus test is. It's actually a test in chemistry that uses litmus paper or litmus strips, and you dip these strips in a solution, and it tells you, you know, how acidic or it's to determine the acidity or alkalinity of the solution. So that's what a litmus test is. With that phrase has been borrowed and applied to a lot of different areas of life. So, you know, I'm a big believer in that. I'm a big believer in giving ourselves litmus tests from time to time. In other words, examining ourselves. I'm a big believer in doing that in a lot of areas of our lives, in our relationships, in our family, in our faith, in our health. I think it's a good thing to take a step back, to zoom out, and just give ourselves a test and ask ourselves, am I doing the things that I need to be doing? Am I going in the right direction? Am I achieving the results that I really want and need to achieve? And again, I think that that's not a bad thing to do. I think it's, in fact, a healthy thing to do in a lot of areas of our lives. Richard Whately, who lived back in the 1700s and 1800s, said, I want you to listen to this quote, though not always called upon to condemn ourselves, it is always safe to suspect ourselves. I love that. Though not always called upon to condemn ourselves, it is always safe to suspect ourselves. In other words, it's not about shaming ourselves. It's not about, you know, making you feel bad, but it's about looking at yourselves. It's about asking ourselves, can I do more? Can I do better? You've got to inspect what you expect, in other words. Sometimes you got to really look and say, okay, am I doing what it takes? Patrick Henry, the great philosopher who lived in the 1700s, said, "For my part, whatever anguish of spirit it may cost, I am willing to know the whole truth, to know the worst, and to provide for it." What a powerful quote. See, I'm one that I go back to when I was in my early 20s, when I was first getting started in our business. I didn't want to know. I didn't want bad news. I tend to have a pretty positive attitude. And so I kind of naturally shied away from anything that would make me feel bad. For example, if I thought my bank account didn't look very good, I didn't want to look online to see what it looked like. I'd rather just not know. If I was getting towards the end of the month, sometimes I didn't even want to look at my counters because I knew it was going to be a close call. Now, if I was over my 50 that I needed, I'd look five times a day. Not that it changed, only updated once a day, but I might look 5 or 10 times a day just to make myself feel better. But if I was short, I don't know, there was something about looking that made it more real, and I didn't want it to be real. And so, you know, I didn't like looking at things that might not look the way that I wanted them to look. I didn't like inspecting myself, in other words. But I really appreciate what Patrick Henry says here. Whatever anguish of spirit it may cost, in other words, it might not feel good, but I am willing to know the whole truth. And what I had to come to accept was my bank account was going to look that way, whether I liked it or not, whether I wanted to look at it or not. And the faster that I could force myself to look, whether that was at my bank account or at my counters or, frankly, at myself, and especially at myself, the faster that I was willing to force myself to look, to give myself a litmus test, in other words, the faster that I could change it. And that's the power of self-examination. And when we do that, when we're able to look and give ourselves an honest look, and really be honest and forthright and say, you know what, I'm not doing what I need to be doing. I'm not where I really want to be. The faster we're able to do that, not in a shameful way, not in a just, you know, make yourself feel bad, beat yourself up kind of way, but in a very positive way, in a positive, I am going to change type of way, that's when things can really turn around. And that's why they say a rocket ship is off track on its way to the moon 97% of the time, but it lands in the right spot because it's making those constant course corrections. Well, I guess you could say self-examination is part of those course corrections. So what I want to do this morning, I want to give you 10 questions. If you're taking notes, maybe you can jot these down. 10 questions that we can ask about ourselves in our business that can help us determine if we're on the right track, if we are doing the things that need to be done. 10 questions that can be our litmus test in this business. So let's go through these 10. Number one, what is the object and design of my business? What is the object and design of my business? What a powerful question to ask yourself. And here's another way to say that. What does your ideal Harvard Risk Management business look like? I mean, if you were to fast forward 36 months from now, which, you know, you look at a person like Adam Thompson, didn't take 36 months to turn it all around, but there was a massive difference in getting started and then 36 months later. I mean, per year income difference. You look at a guy like Scott Brooks, 36 months, you can accomplish a lot. Went from zero to hero. Went from brand new agent, didn't know much, to $250,000 a year in less than 36 months. You look at a guy like Mark Riches, who went from flat broke living in an apartment to making a solid six-figure income in less than 36 months. I mean, you know, and I could give a lot more examples of people who have done that in our business, but 36 months is enough time to really change things. 36 weeks or 36 days, you can change things as well. But I'm talking, let's go 36 months out. What does your ideal business look like? And again, what's the object of it? What do you really want out of this business 36 months from now? I mean, what kind of freedom do you want to enjoy? What kind of finances do you want to enjoy? What kind of results in your life do you want to produce? Because if I sit here and say, what is the object and design of my business, and you know, what does my ideal business look like 36 months from now? If the answer is all in dollars and counters, I'm way off track. Because dollars and counters won't really get me anywhere. Now they will, but again, I'm talking about what Stephen R. Covey calls beginning with the end in mind. In other words, visualizing the final result before we work to achieve it. And I believe that that's got to be a lot more than just numbers on paper. I think numbers on paper are important. We'll talk about that in a second. But I'm talking about visualizing what your life is going to look like. Will you still live in the same home? Are you still going to be driving the same car? Are you still going to be spending your time the same way? What about your relationships with your family? Spouse? Kids? What are those going to look like 36 months from now? See, the more that we can develop that kind of real, actual visualization, the more motivating that can become. And the more real our action plan can become as well. But what is the design of my business? You know, how am I going to achieve that? Is that going to be through employee benefit sales? Is it going to be through small business plans? Is it going to be a mixture? Is it going to be through building an organization and leading a team? Am I going to be a platinum executive director working towards that $1.5 million bonus? I mean, there's a lot of aspects of our business. You can say, you know, I want to have a successful HRMC business. What does that look like? Because my successful HRMC business might be very different than someone else's. So what does yours look like? And you've got to have a vision of what your business looks like. Number one, what is the object and design of my business? Do you know what that looks like? Have you really planned that out? Have you really given some thought to that? And not just thought about it, but really mapped it out, planned it out, and do you know what that looks like? Number two, second question that we can ask about ourselves as we give ourselves this litmus test. Number two, am I following a well-developed plan of action every day? Am I following a well-developed plan of action every day? We could spend an entire training call, and we have, frankly, on just this point, because it's so important. Having the end vision, having the end goal, having a real idea of what we're going for is the first step. Having the roadmap on how to get there is an entirely different step. And making sure that that is broken down to daily activity is such a huge and important thing. And you know, I'll just be real frank with you. Here's the truth. I'd be willing to bet over half of you that are listening to the call right now don't have that. I bet you. I'd be willing to bet that over half of you, if we went through one by one, we obviously don't have time to do that with so many people listening to a call like this, but if we went through one at a time, I mean, well, I just would be willing to bet. I'm not trying to be pessimistic about this, but this is just the reality of it. I'd be willing to bet that over half of you, or maybe almost half of you, do not have a plan of action that is broken down to daily activity. You don't really have a game plan. You don't really have an action plan. Now, you might have some goals that you've jotted down to you know, things that you want to accomplish, but what about an action plan as far as how to get there? It's one thing for me to say, I want to make $150,000 this year through employee benefit sales. I mean, you know, saying that is good, but what's my action plan? Have I gotten that broken down to daily activity? Because that's what an action plan does, is it breaks it down to daily activity. The late, great Dave Savula used to say, you can take all your big goals and throw them out the window if you don't have a daily goal. And if I don't know how many calls I need to make today to make that goal a reality, then I don't have an action plan. And again, I'd just be willing to bet that the realist side of me would be willing to bet that there are many of you that don't have that, that have not taken the adequate time or not taking adequate time to really break that down to a daily goal, to take your end results and work backwards to the point where you know daily activity what it's going to take. And you got to start somewhere. So, you know, maybe I start by, you know, backing that up and saying, okay, I need to make 25 calls a day. And maybe what I realize is, you know, after doing that for 3 or 4 weeks, that that's not producing the kind of results that I'm looking for, and I got to up it to 50 calls. I mean, that, you know, it's not to say that you got to set your action plan and then never change it. Again, rocket ship off track 97% of the time, you're going to have to make constant course corrections as well. But you got to have something first. Tony Robbins says people are not lazy; they simply have impotent goals. That is, goals that do not inspire them. Well, that's problem number one. But then Paul J. Meyer says crystallize your goals. How do you crystallize them? He goes on to say make a plan for achieving them and set yourself a deadline. Then, with supreme confidence, determination, and disregard for obstacles and other people's criticisms, carry out your plan. Unquote. You know, what a beautiful quote. And about the importance of having that action plan. Let's move on. Although, again, those first two, having a clear vision of what you're going for and a well-developed plan of action that's broken down to daily goals, we could spend an entire hour talking about those two things and it wouldn't be enough. But let me give you, since I've got 10 questions here, let me give you the rest of them. Number three, have I developed a passionate belief in what I am doing? As I give myself a litmus test, have I developed a passionate belief for what I am doing? And we could relate that to the memberships that we provide, the solutions that we're bringing in to people. Do I really believe in what I'm doing there? I can certainly relate that to the opportunity to help others as I recruit and train new agents. Do I really believe that this opportunity is the best thing for them? Do I really believe that they would be crazy to take a job that pays them a couple $100,000 a year instead of working with this business? Because I'm going to tell you, if you really get what this business can do, that's how you're going to feel. If you're doing an interview and they say, well, I'm looking at another job that's going to pay me $200,000 a year, if you really understood what this business can provide, you'd look at that and say, you'd be crazy to take that kind of a job. Because they'd never have the freedom that they're going to have here. They would never have the stability that they can have here. They take a job like that, they're going to be looking over their back, you know, looking behind them all the time. Because, you know, you get a job that pays you a couple $100,000 a year, even if you are doing everything to warrant that, you're probably going to be laid off at some point or fired. Not when you develop a business that pays you a couple $100,000 a year, or three or four or five or whatever, you know, wherever you get to in this business. There's so much more stability in what we do. But do you have the belief that's real, that what you're doing is really the best thing out there? Related to that, number four, do I believe in myself and my ability to accomplish the goals that I have set? So believing in the product is great. Believing in the company that you work with is great. Believing in the opportunity is great. But those are not in and of themselves enough, because you've got to believe in yourself. You've got to believe in yourself and your ability to go out and realize the object and design of your business. And sometimes that's the hardest part, because frankly, we've all had failures and we've all been through hard times. And sometimes life beats you down so much that it's hard to believe in yourself. That it's hard to say, you know what, I am going to be successful, and I deserve to be successful. Sometimes we look at others and say, oh yeah, they're there, but I don't know that I can be there. And the best thing that I can recommend, if you're struggling in that area, is that you have got to subscribe to personal development. You have got to dive into personal development. And you know, In my life, nothing's been more powerful than the Word of God. Getting in and really studying and making that a big part of your life. Now, I'm not going to try to force my faith on you, but I will say this: it's made a huge difference in my life. And maybe sometimes we could do a little bit more in that area, developing our relationship with God. I won't get too much into my faith this morning, but I do think there's something to understanding that you have divine potential, that you were created by the Creator, that there's real divinity in you, and that you're not just a creation, you are a child of that Creator, of this ultimate supreme ruler of the universe. I think there's power there. I know there's power there in giving myself permission to succeed. But I'll leave that to you as to what you dive into and what you subscribe to as far as personal development. But I know this: whether I'm reading the Bible or How to Win Friends and Influence People, I can always take positive things from those types of that type of investment of time. And maybe I'll leave it there for you this morning and let your own thoughts and mind start to work. Number five, am I fully engaged in following the system? Am I fully engaged in following the system? And that's a tough one, because that requires some real honesty. That requires, you know, really looking at what we're doing every day and then thinking about going back to some of the training and asking ourselves, you know, is that really what the system teaches? But to me, as far as achieving results, what an important question to ask. Am I following the system? And you know what? That's one that you can get help on, too. You might have a hard time asking others about question number four. It's hard for me to call someone else and say, hey, do I believe in myself? And it's hard for them to answer that. But I can call other people and say, hey, am I fully engaged in following the system? Can you be honest with me and tell me if I'm off track anywhere in following the system? If I'm doing things that are not following the system, I want to know, can you help me know? And hopefully, maybe there's somebody honest enough that'll give you a straight answer on that and help you identify if there are areas where you're maybe off track of what the system teaches. Number six, do I plug into events and training? Now we're getting into more, let me say it this way, into less subjective questions, right? Because, you know, do I have belief? Well, that's hard to measure. It's easy to say yes, but it's hard to measure that. Well, you can measure if you're plugging in. Are you registered for Nashville? Do you have your travel plans for Nashville? Were you in Oklahoma? Like, those are pretty simple. Those are yes or no questions. And they're not subjective. I mean, you either are or you're not. You either were there or you were not. Now, some of you were there, but you weren't really there. That's a whole different story. But do I plug into training? You know, I was looking at this morning the last 2 months of calls that we've had. Just this Monday morning call, not even including the incredible leadership call that we have on Thursday night. But just this Monday morning call, listen to the trainers that we've had and the trainings that we've had over the last 2 months. Jamie Doucette last week, 10 Keys to Success. Rebecca Baker the week before, The Small and Simple Things Required for Success. I was on here a few weeks ago, Staying Power. Mr. Scott Brooks rolled out the Small Business Certification. Adam Thompson back at the last call in April, Winners Never Quit. Jim Tanner before that, Building on a Solid Foundation. Dave Perperno before that, Prospecting Over the Phone. Linda Pitt before that, Tips on Walking Your Community. Chris Evans before that, Tips for Increasing Participation During Enrollments. I mean, folks, that's just the last 2 months. And that's not even going back to Gail Ross and Mike Bakken and these other incredible trainers. That's just the last 2 months. Did you catch all of those? Were you on all of those? Well, if the answer is yes, great. The answer is, I don't remember some of those. Well, good thing is we've got them recorded. But are you plugging in? That's always a good question to ask yourself. Number 7, do I take time regularly? Do I take time regularly to adjust my action plan to meet my goals? Am I taking time on a regular basis to zoom out, in other words? Stephen R. Covey talks about leaders there, and he talks about leaders being people who are who climb the tree. He says it's kind of, you know, everybody's in a big jungle, and you've got producers that are kind of cutting a trail through the jungle, and they've got their machetes, and they're just, you know, whacking away, cutting this trail, blazing a trail through the jungle. You've got managers that are behind them. They're trying to figure out when these producers need to take breaks and how to keep machetes sharp, and they're figuring out the logistics of it all. But he said the leader, that's the one that climbs the highest tree, looks around and says, hey, folks, this is the wrong jungle. And that's where that phrase comes from. In order to be where I want to be, I must take time to climb the tree. Are you doing that? Are you giving yourself that opportunity on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, to really look at your goals, look at your action plan, make the adjustments, the course corrections that need to be made? 8, this is a great one. How do I handle and deal with setbacks and disappointments? How do I handle and deal with setbacks and disappointments? I love what Adam Thompson shared this morning, that even after all these years, even being the number one producer, he had an enrollment this past month where he had an over. Well, we all deal with those. How do you handle those? Maya Angelou said, I've learned that you can tell a lot about a person by the way he or she handles these three things: a rainy day, lost luggage, and tangled Christmas tree lights. Isn't that great? You could philosophize on that for a long time, but I'll let you chew on that. 9, have I developed leadership skills that enables others to want to follow me? Again, probably a topic that we could spend an entire hour on. But if you are building a team and you are not the kind of person that people want to follow, it's not that you can't be successful, because, again, you know, we've got such a great system here that folks can plug into many other things. But I can say this, your rate of success will not be as quick, as fast as it could be, if you were to take time to develop some of those leadership skills. Because leadership is all about influence. That's John Maxwell. It's all about influencing others. And this business is really all about influencing others. Whether you're growing a team, or frankly, whether you are meeting with decision makers and doing enrollments, at the end of the day, you got to be able to influence others to do things that they should be doing. And that's leadership. Can I just give you a book on that, Developing the Leader Within You by John Maxwell? You could take any of his books and probably start off with any of them and be better off. But that's one of my favorites, Developing the Leader Within You by John Maxwell. And then finally, 10, and this is a pretty holistic question, am I making the difference that I need to make? Am I making the difference that I need to make? In my life, in the lives of others, in the world around me, in my community, in my family, am I really making the difference that I need to make? Again, I think all of us are here for a reason. I tend to kind of believe that way, that things don't happen by chance, that there's really no such thing as random relationships. I believe that we're all here for a reason, and yeah, that's part of my faith, but it's part of me. That I believe that I know you and you know me, and there's a reason for that. I believe that there's a reason that people like Mr. Jim Tanner, Mr. Adam Thompson, people like Mr. Brian Fahili, Ms. Stephanie Panshishan, people like Ms. Gail Ross, Mr. Scott Brooks, certainly people like Mr. Mark Riches, have been placed in my life. There's something I need to learn from them. There's maybe something I can help them with. And once I understand that that's more of a divine design, then it makes me ask myself, am I making the difference that I need to make? And if not, it's time to double down. It's time to correct, make some of these course corrections as we ask ourselves these 10 questions, and time to really take it to the next level. For some of us, that's training that we've got to take to the next level. For some of us, it's activity that we've got to take to the next level. For some of us, it's belief, even that self-belief, that we've got to take to the next level. But I know this, the opportunity is real. And it's such that when we are willing to do this, when we're willing to examine ourselves and get better and make changes, that there is opportunity for all of us, that the effects from that can be just as real, and that we can accomplish the things that we need, that we want, and that we absolutely deserve to accomplish because they're real. And so I'll leave that with you, Mr. Tanner. Thanks for letting me spend some time this morning and speak to this incredible group of agents who I have such strong feelings for and such a belief in. And I will turn the call back over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Richards, so much. What an impactful training. Man, I'm just so grateful for that. I know everybody else is here as well. And listen, it's Monday morning. You just got a big scoop of the president of Harvard Risk Management, but you can get even more. I'll remind you that this Wednesday morning, B2B certification webinar, register now. It's this Wednesday morning, June 6th, from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. And you can register so that you can get this as part of your certification requirement by going to your back office under the certifications column and join us there as well. I'm so excited to have you on the call this morning, Mr. Mike Riches, as well as Mr. Adam Thompson. I'm appreciative of all of our Harvard Risk Management agents coming together this morning as we endeavor out to have yet another incredible week of production as we protect and empower the men and women of North America and from sea to shining sea. Thank you so much for everybody for joining us. We'll join you again on our next event.